Well, as you know, Peter Davenport always joins us with the UFO stories. He heads up the National UFO Reporting Center. But we've got a dandy, Joshua P. Warren, on a UFO story in Puerto Rico. We're going to check in with Joshua in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And as you know, in Puerto Rico, they have that huge radio telescope in Arecibo. And we always have been fascinated about that location and the very strange UFO reports that emanate from Puerto Rico. Also, of course, that's the region where we first found out about the Chupacabra as well. It's always good to be able to talk with Joshua P. Warren about all things supernatural. But what's this breaking UFO story, Josh?
Well, you're right, George. There is a plethora of activity here, and I'm joining you from the Bermuda Triangle base here in Boca Raton, Puerto Rico. You know, George, for the fall and the holidays, I went back to the States, and I just recently returned back down here to Puerto Rico and found that over the past 4 months or so, there has been a whole new flap of activity. I mean, I've talked to a lot of fishermen who have been seeing lights zipping around, taking pictures, but today I made one of the more impressive discoveries. Just today, I met a man named, and he gave me permission to give his name out.
Okay.
His name is Daniel Matos Velez, and he works as a Coast Guard, a lifeguard on the coast. And so he is constantly looking out over the water. And, of course, here in Puerto Rico, many of these UFOs are also USOs, meaning they travel in and out of the water. Well, here in the Bay of Boca Raton, a lot of these major sightings have been happening recently. In fact, I've been setting up instrumentation to document what's going on here. And this gentleman, Daniel Velez, was able to capture multiple pictures and some very impressive video footage of these UFOs. And it's the type of UFO that I've never quite seen before. Just a few minutes ago, literally a few minutes ago, I posted the first image of one of these UFOs at joshuapwarren.com. This is an exclusive. It has never been posted before. He gave me permission to put it on the website. And if you go there and just scroll down to the breaking news section, you can look at this thing. I had difficulty explaining what you see, but essentially, when you look out across the Bay of Boca Raton, you see the nice blue sparkling water. And then in the sky above it is a type of UFO that for now I can only categorize of maybe the cigar-shaped type, but not quite. It almost has a blimp-like look to it, but I hesitate to use that term because years ago there was a blimp that was flying in this area, but it's no longer here. This craft not only is reflecting sunlight quite clearly off of its right side, but it has a couple of odd-looking appendages, if you will, that seem to be sticking up, like antennas, perhaps. And that's especially striking because you might recall, George, that last year there was another fascinating photograph that a guy named Louis Imott captured nearby in the town of Lajas. And this was another saucer-type shape that also had a couple of these odd-looking appendages coming from it. And I should mention that when you watch the video footage, which I have not posted yet, this thing just appears in the sky. I mean, in the blink of an eye. So it's traveling at very high speed. So I asked Daniel, you know, why do you think that he has had such success aside from being out there all the time? And he claims, as so many others in this area, that these visitors are perfecting a very strong mental connection to the people of Puerto Rico. And he literally gets a voice in his head instructing him when he needs to go and film or take pictures of these things. And I keep hearing that there is a spiritual component here and that these visitors are little by little making their presence known more and more, and therefore it seems like this prophecy is coming true that something huge is about to explode around the island of Puerto Rico and the Bermuda Triangle.
How dramatic will that be, Josh? Now, what are the possibilities? Can we rule out any drones here?
Well, yes, in this case we can. If this were only a photograph, a still photograph, then you know it would be possible this could be something conventional. But in the video footage, these things are moving at such lightning speed. They are actually traveling from one point in the sky to another that is miles away in less than a second. And fortunately, right now, my friend and television co-producer C. Eric Scott is down here at the Bermuda Triangle base with me. And Eric is, he's a professional in every regard. He went to film school. He's worked on productions for Travel Channel and Nat Geo and Discovery. And he's been analyzing this thing tonight. And Eric is a very skeptical guy. And he also agrees that when you look at the way these things are moving in the video footage, there's just no way that these can be conventional craft.
By the way, we've already shut down your website, just so you know.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, I figured that would probably happen, but you know what? Webmaster is awake right now, and he's rebooting it and resetting it, so we ask everybody to keep trying, and also we're going to keep those pictures up there for a few days.
The minute you started talking, we slammed it. It's amazing.
Well, I'm happy to hear that, because this man Daniel told me that the message that he is getting right now from these visitors is very simple and pure. They want everybody to finally know that they are here and we are going to see some significant visibility over this year and next year. And he says it's a very comforting feeling. And, of course, I was listening to him with a very open mind. And, you know, I come at these scenarios with a lot of critical thinking skills. And I'm used to people saying, well, these are beings from another planet. They have some superior technology. But Daniel told me that he is of the native Taino Indian heritage, and that the Tainos have been in contact with these beings for a long time. And he took out a piece of paper, and I could tell this was not something he had expected to do until he met me and felt good about who I was. And he drew a symbol on this piece of paper. And he said, this symbol is only for you. He said, please don't, you know, post this or publicize it. But he said, you take this symbol and you keep it in your pocket, or if you want to, enlarge it and put it on your wall. And he says, I guarantee you, they will be attracted to you and they will start coming to see you. Hmm. And so you can imagine, as soon as I got back to the base here, I enlarged it and it's on my wall right now. And I'd love to be able to tell you what it looks like, but this is a great experiment.
So why do we get these incredible, because we always have, UFO reports around Puerto Rico? Is there some kind of underwater base there or something?
There absolutely is, in my opinion. I mean, for years now, and I've been coming here for 7 years, people have been talking about all of this bizarre government activity. There is a lot of conspiratorial mindset here. And basically what you find is that people who start sort of snooping around in these areas where UFOs are seen are usually confronted by these mysterious government figures who intimidate them. And I myself have had some odd people follow me around. And in fact, early on, I heard reports that some of these kind of government spooks, if you will, they may look normal at first, but if you look more closely, you'll realize that they don't have ears, or at very least, they are quite diminutive. And that sounded rather silly and comical to me at first, but sure enough, I now have been followed on a couple occasions by odd characters, and when I get a close look, they have extremely tiny ears. Now, I'm not sure what to make of that, frankly, but to look even further back at why this area might be special and why there might be some type of a cooperation going on here between aliens and humans, and you know, maybe there's some disguise or some, you know, weird form being used for these individuals. You must realize that the land right here on the southwestern part of Puerto Rico was the very first land to emerge from the water in this part of the world millions of years ago. And so if these visitors have been coming here for millions of years, well, then this would have been the very first spot they would have seen to explore terra firma on this part of the globe. And therefore, if there was some type of a base set up here, if there was some type of a, you know, an observation point for mankind set up here, this would be possibly one of the earliest ones, and therefore still in use. And that alone might explain why that this, you know, small little island out here in the middle of the ocean is so attractive to them. And also one of the reasons that maybe it's been so fought after for so many years by very powerful countries and, of course, eventually ended up in the hands of the USA.
Good for us, Josh. So what's new in your world of the paranormal?
Well, obviously, there's a lot going on with new experimentation, and I'm also quite intrigued with magical thinking. That's one of my favorite topics these days because, you know, being here in Puerto Rico and being in the Bermuda Triangle, you get a good taste of different elements of the good and bad related to magic. I mean, just a few weeks ago, there was another graveyard here that had about half a dozen bodies go missing. And you may recall that last year there was a graveyard where about 40 bodies went missing. And that's still unsolved. The cops say there's no lead in that case. So, you know, you're talking about massive numbers of people just vanishing from graveyards, and it's presumed that this is for magical reasons. And I look into cases like that, and that becomes sort of frightening to me, because I'm seeing more and more just how easily it's becoming for people to manifest their intentions, be they good or bad, because it seems like we're going through this phase where the world around us is a little more flexible and sensitive and malleable. So what that means is that it's sort of like the universe speeding up and accelerating is also causing our thoughts to accelerate along with it. And it's converging various frequencies, and it's bringing our thoughts closer to the physical realm. So you have to be very careful about what you think. And, you know, recently I was talking to you, George, about some tulpa experiments that I'd done at my Asheville Mystery Museum.
Right.
Where I was taking, you know, mundane objects, something like a roll of tape, or a piece of paper, or a box, or something like that, and leaving that thing in a room, and then people would go in, meditate on it, and then afterward, we would have a person walk in to that room who knew nothing about what had gone on in there. And that person was able to tell us the object that those people had been meditating on because they created a tulpa. Now, if you can take some simple object and burn a psychic impression of it into the environment like that, can you imagine what happens when there is a murder in a room or some other horrible, violent act that is just fraught with all kinds of horrific frequencies? I mean, there's no telling what that burns into the environment, which, of course, is why we have many of these haunting scenarios. But I believe it's becoming more and more easy for people to create these kind of psychic imprints in the environment. And I'm starting to think that the majority of this stuff that people talk about called paranormal has a very strong connection to all that. And we're going to see this type of human ability increase. And what's interesting is it seems like historically humans go through cycles where sometimes they're able to manifest things and to perceive spiritual realms more easily, just like those periods of time you read about in the Bible or in some of the Vedic texts, mm-hmm. Indian texts and whatnot. These are periods where the mind-body-environment relationship becomes highly tuned to these other dimensions. And we sort of, I think, fell out of sync for a while. But now this quote-unquote new age is about us coming right back into sympathetic resonance with these things and seeing the paranormal gradually become normal again.
You know, let me ask you this, too. So many people have called me about attached haunted objects, which you've looked at, Josh. John Zaffis has, too. There's no question that some entity can attach itself to an object. And if that object ends up in your house or wherever, you can be haunted by it, can't you?
You absolutely can. There's no doubt about it. I have to be very particular about objects that I pick up. And in fact, I'll tell you a story that something that happened to me just about a week ago. I went into a cave here in Puerto Rico that is well known for the ritualistic magical practices that take place inside. And, I don't consider myself to be a quote-unquote psychic. I think everybody has psychic ability. But when I stepped into this cave, it made me dizzy. I mean, it felt like I'd just been spinning in a circle for 5 minutes. And there was a small group with me, and we all felt the same way. Anyway, I was looking around, and I looked down next to a stone that's often used as an altar with candle drippings all over it, and I saw a small sort of item that was wrapped in what looked like some dirty grayish fabric. And I picked it up, and it appeared to me to be some kind of a bone. And this was a very creepy-looking thing. And immediately I thought, wouldn't this be wonderful to take back to my museum in Asheville and to study this thing in our laboratory and put it on display? But I wasn't sure if I should hang on to this thing or not. And I ended up talking to a friend of mine who's a Santero down here. And he said, your best bet is to just, get rid of that thing, put it into the ocean. And so sure enough, as much as I wanted to keep it and maybe share it with others who are interested in this subject, I went down to the ocean and I threw it off a cliff. And I swear the wind hit it the right way. And it just sailed through the air and disappeared into some frothy white waves crashing below. And I felt like I'd probably done the right thing to send it into some pure waters.
Josh, we're going to take this quick break, come back with you for the rest of the half hour, and we'll take some phone calls as well with you. So in Puerto Rico, do they cover UFO reports a lot?
Not as much as you would think. And that is because that a lot of people here do indeed have this fear that the line between the UFOs and the government is so blurry, they might stumble and step onto the wrong toes, because you must always remember this is not a state, it's a territory.
That's right.
So the laws are very ambiguous here, and the U.S. government and military have done all kinds of controversial experiments on this island over the years, and so the people here are uncertain about whether or not they should stand out from the crowd and perhaps make a target of themselves if they unwittingly are causing some alarm about something the government would rather keep quiet.
We're going to come back with Joshua P. Warren and all things paranormal in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Split Show, we're going to talk about exorcisms. And then later on, of course, we're going to be talking about some incredible deathbed experiences. So don't miss that classic Coast to Coast show. When we come back in a moment with our friend Joshua P. Warren, we're going to take some calls. Your calls next. Welcome back. Josh, do they talk much about the chupacabra there anymore?
Yes. You know, it's odd the different reactions that you get regarding the chupacabra. Sometimes you bring it up and people just laugh. Frequently you bring it up and people still think of those sort of misinterpretations in the States of mangy coyotes and that sort of thing that have made the media. But then, you know, once in a while, you talk to somebody who becomes very, very serious. And, you know, people who have seen the chupacabra and realize that, you know, the chupacabra is some kind of an alien or interdimensional creature. And, you know, if you start looking at the formal history of the chupacabra, it supposedly begins around 1995 when a woman in this little town near San Juan called Canavanas was pretty much looking out her kitchen window one morning and saw this 3 to 4 foot tall bipedal creature with big black eyes, spines running down its back, three claws on each hand, and sort of had more of a furry look to her than a reptilian look. And then she saw this thing dash away into the weeds. And after that, well, she was, of course, panicked, and she started calling authorities, and this hit the news. And the people who started making fun of it were the ones who kind of called it the chupacabra, the goat sucker, because there had been a recent rash of these goats being drained of blood in the area. But the reality I found is that these reports of animals being drained of blood go way back here in Puerto Rico. I mean, at least 100 years from people that I've talked to. And then they've been called various things at various times. I mean, in the 70s, this was happening around a town called Moca, and so they had what they called the Vampire of Moca at the time. And so this is kind of a pattern here. Certainly, however, whatever the chupacabra is, it is something that is much weirder than a normal biological organism.
All right, let's go to the phones here. We'll go to Sid in Port Townsend, Washington, west of the Rockies. Sid, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, George.
Welcome, Sid.
Josh, you mentioned objects. And in 1980, I moved into an apartment with my first girlfriend, and we just got done eating pizza. We were watching like a rerun of Gilligan's Island, and about a 2 or 3 pound ashtray on the coffee table in front of us, an old one, green glass, it flew off the coffee table, crashed across the room into the wall, and exploded into like powder and a few shards. And we freak out. We're going like, what happened? Oh my God. I go, look at it. It's hot, it's humid, it's summer. We go down to sit on the front stoop and talk about it. And some neighbors come up and go, what are you talking about? And we told them. And they said, you fools, two women were murdered in your apartment 3 months ago. And a lot of the stuff was left in there. And anyways, it was pretty weird.
Well, you see, I'm glad that you called with that story, Sid, because, you know, I have seen similar things myself. In fact, you know, when I started professionally investigating ghosts over 20 years ago, one of the things that I found hardest to believe was that, you know, solid physical objects could be tossed around. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me at the time from a Newtonian point of view how that could happen. And then I went to investigate a house in South Carolina. And one of the reasons I went is because the lady in the house said she was being tormented by these dark forces that would not only push her around, but other objects in the house. And at one point, I was sitting on the couch next to another investigator, and in front of us on the wall was a kind of little ceramic decorative dove hanging there. And we both watched that thing launch off the wall and with this explosive force, and similar to what you said, Sid, you know, it, in this case, it hit the floor, but it just shattered into a thousand pieces. And it was a really frightening and sort of awe-inspiring experience that, that inspired me to go back to that house and keep shooting video until we finally got some footage of at least one object being knocked around by this force. So what this shows us is that the relationship between the physical and the non-physical is not as clear as we might like to think. And that's why it's really important for us to keep that in mind when we look at these UFOs. I mean, when you have some type of a technology that appears to be so superior to our normal technology, you have to ask yourself, have they transcended what is physical to us on an everyday basis into what we think of as the energy realm, and then learn how to come back from it, which is why the, these craft, one minute, they look solid and tangible, and you can take pictures of them. The next minute, they either disappear or they are traveling at ridiculous rates of speed, or you also have cases where they tend to appear differently to different people, almost like they're composed of a conscious, sensitive material. Which might also be part of how they're piloted, that, you know, beings literally displace their hands or even get their minds near these things and control them. So that's sort of the crux of understanding ghostly phenomena and the UFO phenomena, psychic stuff. It's about understanding that boundary between physical objects and mental energy. And by the way, let me remind everybody, my webmaster is rebooting that site because you've got to see this photograph at joshuapwarren.com of this new UFO because it looks very, very physical. I mean, the sunlight is reflecting off of it as it's hovering over the water there.
Are you a believer that disclosure will occur? I'm not.
No, I don't see the motivation for it. I mean, I think that if disclosure ever appears to occur, it will simply be because the information is going to become exposed for reasons that cannot be controlled. So let's say, for example, these visitors decide that they want to expose themselves en masse for some reason. I don't know why they would want to do that, but it sort of seems like that many of them are giving us that message. And so if they decide to expose themselves and it's going to be inevitable, then I could see the government coming out and pretending that they're being the good guys and breaking the news. But short of that, you know, knowledge is power. And these government officials who have the first access to information and the ability to control and shut down areas where crashes occur and that kind of thing, they are always going to do everything they can to have a monopoly and an exclusive on whatever this superior information is. And so it just doesn't make sense to me that anybody would ever open up and think it was a good practical move to tell the general public what's going on.
No, not at all. Let's go back to the calls. Portland, Oregon, Sal's with us, first-time caller, on with Joshua Warren. Hey, Sal.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I had a... unexplainable experiences over my lifetime. Half a dozen. I have two comments on them. About 7 months ago, I don't remember. I was dreaming, but I heard this voice on my left ear for about seven seconds, and the next day I assumed that that whoever talked to me said like 800 words a minute, 800 words in those 7 seconds. And after I woke up, I heard footsteps on the hall, like somebody going out the door. And then recently, I had lost my keys to the house. Like I lost them outside, so this guy could have opened the doors with the keys I lost, came in, you know, and talked to me in my ear. And then I heard the footsteps. That's one comment. The second comment is, I never hear you talk about Scientology.
Well, that's probably one of the topics that, Sal, we don't get into. I mean, it's important for some, but I've never touched it before. Josh, have you?
No, I really don't know much about Scientology, and what I have read has been, you know, through the lens of someone with an agenda. So, I'm not certain about that, but I feel like that any type of philosophy or religion that one feels makes him or her a better person is a good thing. And when it comes specifically to Sal's story about having this enormous amount of information spoken to him at night, you know, I hear that kind of thing a lot because, you know, obviously when you're sleeping, you're in a very, very receptive state. I mean, you're not in this world anymore. That's part of what dreaming is about. And I find it incredible that I'm a very, very vivid dreamer, and I start dreaming to the instant my eyes close, and I'm dreaming to the very end. And I wake up, and I will have been in this world full of histories that go back for thousands or millions of years, and symphonies, and all these things that I believe that I could have never created or imagined. But where did all this come from? Well, it seems like that your brain is tapping in to other places that may have some reality, but that also gets mixed in with the stuff that your brain is processing about what happened to you and this reality, and that's what makes it so complex. But during that period of time, I think you're very open to what you might think of as downloading information. And I know a lot of people who say, hey, I'm going to go to bed and, you know, think on this before I go to bed. And when I wake up tomorrow, I'll have the solution to some problem. And it tends to work amazingly well. In fact, my friend and colleague, Mobius, who runs the laboratory for our Sunshine Simple solar generators, he is always working on circuits and very complex technical projects. He worked with me on the Warner Brothers movie The Apparition, where we were working on all these bizarre Hollywood-oriented lab experiments, and that we would get some crazy challenge thrown at us, and he would say, I'm not sure how to solve this, but let me sleep on it. And sure enough, the next day he'd wake up, and it would just be all magically worked out in his head. So, Sal, you might be one of these people who's getting a download once in a while.
Robert's in Tempe, Arizona. Hey, Robert, go ahead.
Hi, you mentioned these crafts that were over Puerto Rico and people getting the voices in their mind.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You know, Alex Jones was a guest here the other night, and he had a guest on one time, Dr. Rice, and he said he had over 5,000 cases of people coming in saying they heard voices in their head, and he attributed it to this ELF technology, low frequency. And he's come down and said that, you know, the government's actually, you know, experimenting with it on people. And Alex always points out that technologies, like, they're 30 years ahead. They're hiding things 30 years ahead of where we are. But we're able to buy stuff at the store and things like that. I was wondering if you ever explore that reasoning.
I don't think that's an area.
Absolutely, Robert. You know, this is an area that I'm especially interested in because when I first started looking at these odd reports here in the Bermuda Triangle, and people started telling me about hearing voices in their homes and believing they are possessed by the devil or believing that there are ghosts haunting them or whatever, I was looking at all the options, and I met a man who had recently retired from the military, and he informed me that here in Puerto Rico is an outpost of the HARP project, the High Altitude Auroral Research Project, which is broadcasting all of these unusual waves into the ionosphere. In fact, they're called ionospheric heaters. And it's a fact that this exists, but it's unclear how it's being used. Well, I knew that HAARP was based in Alaska, and I really didn't believe that there was an outpost here. And then I looked it up, and sure enough, it's true. There actually is. This is not some underground, you know, conspiratorial bit of history. I mean, no, this is the fact. There is one of these systems here. Exactly how it's being used is, you know, again, sort of fuzzy. But I wonder if there are people on this island who may be sort of in the line of sight of some of these broadcasts. And this is opening their brains or triggering some type of perception. And one thing that I've noticed that's really odd here is that Puerto Rico, of course, tropical place, a lot of tourists come here. People are having a good time. They're drinking pina coladas. But all these people I've talked to, or at least the vast majority of them, who say they're hearing these voices, they don't drink, they don't smoke, they are never in sort of a chemically altered state of mind, and yet they're able to pick up all of these things. And that makes me wonder if perhaps we numb ourselves with our you know, chemicals that we put into our bodies, and people who don't do that are more sensitive to these waves and rays that are bouncing around. And is this part of a mind control operation, or is it just some type of an arbitrary effect from these experiments with EMFs? It's obviously secret, so who knows?
All right, Josh, I want to thank you. Good luck in Puerto Rico. Stay safe, and once you get that website up and running, we'll take a look at that as well. Joshua P. Warren. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.